Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Rabbi Yossi Goldman joins us this morning. We wanted to ask him the question, what happens when a marriage is a mistake? Rabbi Goldman, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Baruch Hashem, thank God, Howard, and you?
I am well, thank you. Over the course of your career, I think a rabbi's, job description is incredibly broad, and one of the criteria must be marriage counseling. You're dealing with people through all sorts of difficulties in their lives and joys in their lives, but sometimes that also puts a strain on marriage. What happens when a marriage is a mistake? How far should people push it? When should they recognize that, you know what, maybe it's time to call this?
I always tell people that divorce is allowed in the Torah. Judaism allows divorce, unlike some other faiths.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a last resort. And my experience is that all too often people view it as a first resort or a second resort. And they don't try everything first. And to me, that's criminal. And often people have unrealistic expectations before they get married, and then things which are not so consequential upset them, and they think, oh, I made a mistake. Didn't make a mistake. Marriage is the same as life. Life doesn't go on automatic pilot, and neither does marriage. It takes... What's that four-letter word? Work.
Absolutely.
And when we work at it, it has a better chance of working. If all else fails, if there's something abusive going on, God forbid, then obviously there's grounds for divorce. I'm not saying there's never grounds for divorce.
Of course.
But what my experience is that people get divorced too quickly and sometimes for the wrong reasons. I had a woman who's, I think she's now on husband number 3. And I begged her not to divorce husband number 1 because her reasons were really, silly, in fact.
Yeah.
He was a schlump, you know. He didn't clean up after himself.
Wow. Right?
Left his socks around.
I mean, no marriage would survive.
I said, it's not grounds for divorce, you know. He doesn't gamble. He doesn't. The woman. He's a good guy. You know. Okay. He's not perfect. I understand, but it's not grounds. She wouldn't hear from it, and she married the most dapper guy afterwards. But he was cruel to her. And then she married a third guy. I think they're still married, but
she
confessed to me years later. I knew then what I knew now. I would have listened to you because compared to number 2 and number 3, number 1 was an angel.
So I just wonder if it doesn't say more about us than it does necessarily about our partners, because isn't it that part of the challenge and the growth is you have made the choice to live with a person. No one's forced you to get married. You are in a marriage, but now that's part of your own journey to try and figure out why those things do to you what they do and how to grow from that experience.
It's definitely a journey, and it's definitely a challenge, and there are a handful of people out there who just coast along beautifully, blissfully in love without any issues, if there's a handful of such people. Most people have to work at it, and there are issues, and it's fine. It's okay. It's not the end of the world. You had a fight. Okay, get over it. Sort it out. And it's not grounds for ending it. It doesn't mean it was a mistake. Again, there are extreme circumstances in which there have been a few cases. I've had a handful or half a handful of in my 45 years here as a rabbi where I actually told someone they must get divorced.
Right.
But those are the rare exceptions.
Right, because that's not really what most people are about. Most people are, you know, I would imagine that get divorced or getting divorced for reasons that aren't on those extremes, the abuse
and
that
type of... There are issues of incompatibility, and there are issues of this, that, or the other, and, you know, the traditional issues, money, and especially when times are tough like COVID.
Are you seeing a difference, and do you see a difference in younger generations, or is it just something that we say, you know, the younger generation don't know how to work for something and they want instant gratification? But does that come out of a truism, or is it just what we like to think of a younger generation?
Look, I think older people, I think it's very hard to define what I mean by younger and older, but let's say the last generation, okay? Let's say our parents, okay?
Right.
Our parents came from a distant schooling, and, you know, the divorce was almost unthinkable. Not so much taboo, but it was just not done, and people, you know, may do. Unfortunately, many people, you know, lived, how did Thoreau put it, lives of quiet desperation. And they came to terms that this is their lot in life and they have to suffer through life, and what can they do about it? That's not right either. We shouldn't accept that we should suffer through an unhappy relationship. We should work at fixing it. And there are wonderful counselors out there who can help us fix it. And many people have, you know, gone through very serious lows and crises and bounce back and are better than ever. There is hope, but one has to work at it. It's a commitment, and it may well be a lifelong commitment.
When I think about my late grandparents, I know my grandmother told me the story of how they met and got engaged. They were two single people, had fled, both lost their families, fled from Germany, came to South Africa. They were religious. They had been introduced, and instead of being alone and lonely, it was the right thing to get engaged and get married. And they got engaged just simply after a few days, so as not to be alone. And together there was this mission of rebuilding and making sure that they could have a family and build lives and survive. Do you think that to some extent hardship unites? And I don't think that they had a particularly easy marriage. You know, it's just not that, nothing is that simple, as you say. But do you think that hardship like that actually works to cement couples and a relationship?
There are many, many, probably thousands of couples or more who both survived the Holocaust, for example, and found each other and had a sense of rebuilding their lives and rebuilding their people, rebuilding their families. Our late father is an example. He was the sole survivor of his whole family from Poland. And even and he was 90 years old when he had a great-grandchild. He would clutch this little baby to his bosom. And he never said a word, but we all knew what was going through his mind. But thank God he was able to rebuild his family. So, once upon a time, family was a purpose and a mission and a job and part of our responsibilities in this world, not just for our own personal happiness and contentment. It was a sense of responsibility. I mean, that's what we're reading about in the Torah readings this week.
Yeah.
That's probably why you chose this subject this
week,
because this week we read about the first shidduch between Isaac and Rebecca.
100%.
The first biblical matchmaking is in this week's Torah reading. So it was a sense of building the Jewish people back then and very often rebuilding families now. Today, the next generation, you know, whether it's Hollywood or novels or whatever, you know, we have these images of romance and love and riding into the sunset and living happily ever after, which is often unrealistic. And maybe that's what gets us into trouble. You know, we have these images of perfection, where it's only going to be wonderful and just simply not realistic.
Yeah. And I think that's the theme. That is the theme, is to manage what is realistic or not. And unfortunately, we live in a world of social media and of Hollywood and everything else, that the movie ends with a marriage. It doesn't show us anything beyond that. So we think that is sort of the pinnacle of happiness.
Have you ever seen anybody washing dishes in a movie?
No. Yeah, exactly. It's just not real. It is just, and the movie ends with a wedding. It just does. Yeah. And that's really just the beginning. Rabbi Yossi Goldman, thank you for making yourself available for chatting to us.